Well, this morning I'm in a place that I've never been before. My final morning service as a pastor. Never been there before. It's new territory. I remember I have left other churches to become a pastor somewhere else. And that's difficult. Let me tell you, that's hard. I know many of you have had to leave a job or leave an area and move somewhere else like the Beddocks are doing. It's always hard to say goodbye. I remember when we got ready to leave Florida to come here, almost 13 years ago now, I was shaking hands, going around the auditorium and shaking hands with people that morning. One man in particular, he always sat about three rows back on that one side, and he and his wife, and I was shaking hands with him, and he said, "Pastor, I love you." And I said, "Well, I love you too." And he looked me right in the eye and he said, "Then why are you leaving us?" You know? And I had to assure him that it wasn't because I did not love him, you know. And let me assure you this morning, I'm not leaving you here because I don't love you. In fact, I love you very dearly. I promised myself I wasn't going to do this. We're living in strange days. These are, in many ways, terrifying days. I don't know what's going to happen if we get a different president. And I'm not political in saying that. I just don't know what's going to happen. I sure hope the Lord comes back before that ever happened. I believe with all my heart we are living in last days. I'm not a prophet and I'm not trying to predict day, but I believe that looking at the scriptures, I would declare to you this. I personally believe we are living in the last days. 2 Timothy 3 tells us that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and we are in those perilous times. You read the list of things that are going to happen during those days, and they are happening at full speed right now. I like to take notes from other preachers. When others are preaching, I like to take notes, and a lot of times I take them on little 3x5 cards. And I'm going to be preaching a message this morning from 1 Thessalonians. And I took these notes from a pastor friend of mine named Don Trott. He used to work with ABWE, Donald Trott. I took some notes on this passage from him right here in 1980. I took these notes 40 years ago from Don Trott on this passage. I took notes in 1993 on this passage from a pastor, Carl Holwerda, a pastor that preceded me when I went to be the pastor at Lake Lansing Baptist Church in East Lansing, Michigan. And so these were some notes from Carl Holwerda. These are my notes on this passage. This letter, 1 Thessalonians, was the very first letter that Paul wrote. Paul, of course, had spent not 13 years, but 3 weeks with the congregation at Thessalonica. Acts tells us he was there and reasoned with them 3 Sabbath days. And then he left town because of persecution. And so Paul, in writing back to these that he'd only had a three-week relationship with, had certain burdens that he wanted to share with them. Well, I want to share with you this morning some of those same burdens that Paul shared with that congregation that he didn't know nearly as well as we know one another. And if I were giving this a title, I would say, How to Live in Last Days. How to Live in Last Days. And this letter that Paul writes here to the believers at Thessalonica, he talks about salvation, he talks about service, he talks about safety, he talks about their sanctification, he talks about their surety, which is I'm using in place of assurance. And so Paul deals with all of these areas. And you know what Paul said here in verse 2 of chapter 1? And I want to echo that in my relationship with you today. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and Father. That's what Paul thought of when he thought of about the people at Thessalonica. And that's what I think about when I think about you today. I thank God always for you all, making mention of you in my prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. You know, as I leave here, be assured that Sue and I are going to pray for you every day. We already do, but we're going to continue that. Lord willing, I'm just going to leave my membership here for a while. I'm not going to take it anywhere, so I'm still going to be a member here, and Sue and I are going to be members, and I'm going to send my tithe here. You know, I believe in sending your tithe to your local church. That used to be a little problem when I was in Florida because 90% of my congregation were members up north, and it was hard to encourage them to give their tithe down there when I believed it should go back up to their church up north. So, but the Lord met our needs anyway. So I'm still going to be a part of you. But be assured, we're gonna pray for you and hope you'll continue to pray for us. You know, after having been your pastor for so many years, I love alliteration. So I couldn't have this last message without some alliteration. There's a scary word down in verse 4. It makes people petrified. They get so nervous when they see this word. If you're on an ordination council, and you ask the candidate a question, use this word, and you will see his face turn white. It's the word election. It's found there in verse 4. Oh, if you see that word election someday, Pastor Sam, if you see that on an ordination council, I'll be praying for you. There's a lot of controversy about the doctrine of election. You know what? I believe in election because God's word teaches it, even if I don't fully understand it and couldn't even fully help you understand it. Here's one of the things that we have to be sure of in these final last days. Those who know Christ are his elect. I'm not going to try to explain that any fuller to you, but those who know Christ have been elect. And and we need to walk as those who are elect. Look at his salutation. He gives a salutation many times in verse 1. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning again, congregation, I want to say to you, grace be unto you and peace today. Just enjoy God's grace and enjoy God's peace today. And what is a church? It says under the church. Well, if you study the language at all, you'll see that that word church comes from a word called ecclesia, which just means a group of called out ones. Well, what have we been called out of? We've been called out of this dark, sin-cursed earth to be lights for Jesus Christ in this world. We've been called out. We are called out ones. That's what the church is. We're to be those shining lights called out. And so 1 Peter 2:9 says, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's just quickly go over a page in my Bible to 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 13, it says, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, there's that scary word again, chosen, in verse 13. And but those who are chosen are called. Aren't you glad you were called? Aren't you glad you were called out? And now you're a part of that wonderful body called the church. And so I have to stop. Last Sunday, I purposely decided to preach a message on salvation last Sunday. And I have to stop and just say, people, make sure that you're a child of God. How scary to live in these kind of days without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and being assured of that. And I hope if there's anybody here that still has any doubts or concerns about your relationship with Jesus Christ, boy, it would be a wonderful way for me to go out leading you to Christ. And so if you don't know Christ, I'd love to introduce you to him today. Now, we often talk about God's election and man's decision. Well, let me assure you of this. The Bible teaches us that you were saved when God chose you in Christ even before the foundation of the world. And you were saved when you responded to the call of the Spirit and receive Christ. And you were saved because you had been called before the foundation of the world when Christ died on the cross for your sins. And you are saved today by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some reasons here in this passage why Paul knew that they were saved. Notice in verse 4 it says, knowing, brethren, your election of God, and I'm using that word election to be a similar word to saved, and so knowing your salvation, your election of God, how did he know this? Well, and how could he give thanks for them in verse 3, remembering, well, there's why he could give thanks in verse 2. There are certain things going on in verse 3. The end of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, says, now abideth what? Faith, hope, and love, charity. But the greatest of these is love. And, you know, why do you think that's so great and he doesn't seem to be quite as heavy there in that passage about faith and hope? Well, because love is eternal, and faith and hope will one day be fulfilled for us, right? We will not walk by faith. We will someday walk by sight. And we will no longer have hope because our hope will be fulfilled. And so we still will have love. We'll always have to walk in love. But notice here, we have faith, hope, and love in this passage. Notice in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of what? Faith. Faith. Do you know why we do what we do today? You know why we do what we do here at Latham Bible Baptist Church? Why we work? Because we have faith. Not because we're working for our salvation. We're working because we have faith. Ephesians tells us that we should have works following our faith. And James tells us that. And so he could say, I know you're saved because I've seen your work of faith. And he says, I know you're saved because what did he also see? Your labor of love. You know, isn't it wonderful today to see people serve the Lord and labor just because they love him? You know, isn't it wonderful when our children come to us and do something for us, not because we made them do it and because they'd be in trouble if they didn't do it, but they do it just because they love us. Isn't that wonderful? That's the same way with God. We do something for him just because we love him. And then patience of hope. So there's faith, hope, and love in this verse too. Patience of hope. And certainly we need that patience today, don't we? With things as they are in this world, we need all kinds of patience. But notice verse 5. Here's another reason why Paul could know that he was talking to a group of saved people. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. You know, the word has to come in, the gospel has to come in word, doesn't it? But not word only. It comes in word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it also comes in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. He said, I can see your faith, and I can see how it has changed your life. I can see the power of the Spirit of God in your life. What did James say? Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And so in full assurance, he said, I could see what had happened in your lives, and that now I know that you are truly God's elect and you are saved. And it, notice the progression here. I want you to see a little bit of progression. Verse 5, what was true of the gospel? It came unto them. And then what happened to those people in verse 6? Ye became, because the gospel came, you became something. You became followers of our Lord. And then verse 7, it continued on, so that you were in samples. So the progression is the gospel came, we received it by faith, we became followers of Christ, and now the progression continues. We then are examples of those believers. And that leads me to my second point this morning. Not only were they elect, but these followers of Christ at Thessalonica and the followers of Christ here at Latham Bible Baptist Church are exemplary people. They're elect people. They're exemplary people. That's what this word example means. You know, I mentioned to some, if I'd have known some of the responses I got yesterday, I'd have tried to have a yard sale every day for the last, I think because of the COVID, people were out and they wanted to talk. And even though we were all wearing our masks and everything, I had complete strangers just talking to me about a lot of different stuff yesterday. And especially once that I told them that I was the pastor over here at Latham Bible Baptist Church. And usually when I tell somebody I'm a pastor, I get this. you know. But yesterday it was, and the day before were a little different. When I told him I was a pastor, it's been seldom that I've had people open up to me like they did yesterday. They really did. It was almost like they were looking for somebody to listen. And I had so many wonderful opportunities. I had a man who's a music teacher over here at the high school. And he sat and talked with me for 15 minutes. And you know what he said? He said, I don't know how we're going to do what they're asking us to do. Do you know what they're doing as far as musical instruments over there this next year? Social distancing of 12 feet between each student if you play a musical instrument. 12 feet. So I'm going to have music class in the gymnasium. Since they're not going to have PE classes, I could have music classes in there, but 12 feet. And he was really giving me an earful of stuff that he was worried about for the school next year. But and I had some others that just one man came in and he bought everything I had anywhere that had any religious or spiritual significance. And then he said, I'm a Christian. And he says, I had a set of the old cassette tapes of the Bible, you know, the whole Bible from Genesis. And because I now have them on CD, so I didn't need these cassette ones any longer. He bought all of them. I had all of these radio Bible class VHS tapes of various things. I mean, I had 15 of them. He had an old VHS. He said, I'm going to watch these things. And he took them, and he got a bargain. They were 10 cents a piece, you know, and because nobody has VHS anymore, you know. But he wanted them, and books and other stuff. But you know what we need to be these days? We need to be exemplary people. We need to be examples of the believers. Notice that word in verse 6. It says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Do you know what that word follower there is? It's a word meaning mimic. Now, it's so funny. We of course, haven't seen our grandkids in California since back in last year at Christmas time. But our daughter-in-law is very good at sending us pictures and Marco Polo stuff. You know, if you don't know what that is, look it up. But we see videos back and forth of the kids. And our little one is 2 years old now, a little over now. And it is so funny. As they're being filmed, he will stand there looking at his bigger sisters and see what they're doing, and then he'll start doing the same thing. He'll look at them, and then whatever they're doing, he'll do, you know, for grandpa and grandma. What's he doing? Mimicking. You know what? What are we supposed to do when it comes to Christ? We are to mimic him. We are followers. We are mimics of Christ. We are examples. And notice we are to be examples in our walk. And we are to be examples in our talk. We are to be examples in our endurance, because they were having affliction here. We are to be examples in our joy. And so Paul is reminding them that they are not only elect people, they are exemplary people. And so, again, I want to remind all of us that we walk as those who are elect people, and we are the right kind of examples. If anybody should know how to get through this pandemic, it should be genuine Christians who know the joy of the Lord, who don't need to fear, who need to just trust and let everybody know that God's in control, and we're glad he is. But then they were not only elect and exemplary, they were enthusiastic. Don't you love enthusiasm? I love enthusiasm. When people get excited about something. Let me stop. This is not what I plan to say right here, but let me just stop. I listened to your singing this morning, as did Mike, and I'll tell you, I think per capita, we have the best singing congregation in the whole area. I've been in congregations where they sing a lot of songs, but you look around and half the people are standing there not even singing. You know, when I look around, almost without exception, everybody in here is singing. Whether you really think you have a voice to sing or not, you're singing. And that's a blessing to me. That's a blessing. And I think per capita, we got the best singing congregation around, you know. But they were also examples in their witnessing. They witnessed and gave out the word of God. You know, the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and in charity and in spirit and faith and purity. Let's be examples. And Titus tells us that in all things show thyself a pattern of good works. But they were enthusiastic. Look at verse 8. For from you sounded out. You know what that means? Like a trumpet blaring. One time when we were in Israel, we were going up on the Temple Mount, and at that time there was a covered walkway, wooden covered walkway that took you up to the Temple Mount, and it had little spacings in the sides. It wasn't fully open. It had boards and it was little spacings, and all of a sudden we were in there, we were kind of waiting in there to go up to the top, and a big trumpet blast was heard, and we look out through these little spacings, and there was a father coming down to the wailing wall with his son who was having a bar mitzvah. And before they were getting everybody's attention, because they were blowing that trumpet and pounding a drum, getting everybody's attention that they were going to have this bar mitzvah. Well, you know what? When it comes to the gospel, we need to get everybody's attention and sound it out like a trumpet blaring. And they were doing that. In fact, that had gone so far that their example and then the sounding out of the word of the Lord had been all over, and not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place, your faith to God were to spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. Wow. They sounded out the word of the Lord. And I just pray that all of us will continue to sound out the word of the Lord. But here's my last. I got choked up a little bit this morning when I was singing, and it's my wife's fault because I look over at her and she's get, and then I kept looking away from her this morning. I didn't want to look at her, but I got in one of the songs that we sang this morning was talking about the second coming of Christ, and it just, man, it just hit me when I was singing that this morning, and I had to stop singing for a couple minutes. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ is coming back? Aren't you glad? These were expectant people. Notice verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show us of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what the gospel does. It changes lives. And then you serve and you wait. Verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Wait. There's nothing on my agenda, and I believe absolutely, as much as I want to see that new grandbaby, that's not on, first on my agenda. You know what's first on my agenda? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in my life that I want more than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to wait for his son from heaven. Jesus is coming back. And he's going to deliver us. And he is delivered us. He's already delivered us from that wrath to come. That's part of the reason I don't believe in a mid-trib or a pre-wrath. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, and I believe in the pre-trib and pre-millennial, and he's coming back. And so these people were elect people. I hope you're all elect people this morning. By that I mean you're saved. These people were exemplary people. I pray that we'll all be good examples. These people were enthusiastic people. And I know in these times it could be easy to get a little discouraged, but let's be enthusiastic. And let's be expectant people. I want to give you the minutes or the notes that I took. Mine's better than these anyway, but no, I'm kidding. But these are the notes that I took. Marks of a Great Church was the title of this message by Carl Huerta. People who make a great church believe the Bible is the Word of God. They are a converted membership. They're a working church. They're evangelistic and missionary minded. They live in light of the Lord's return. And later in chapter 4, they are enabled by the Holy Spirit. Well, that's great too, isn't it? And then Don Trott said they're a model church because they hear the Word of God, they heed the Word of God, and they herald the Word of God. You know? And that's a mighty church that heeds the Word of God and first hears it and heeds it and heralds it. Let's be a mighty church for God. Let's be a people that know how to live in these last days, letting God use our lives for his glory. I challenge myself to continue to try to be that kind of person. I don't know what church that I will be attending when I get to California, but I'll tell you, if it's not a lot like this church, I'm not going there. You know? If it doesn't believe what this church believes, I'm not going there. I want to find a church that's like the church I pastored and like the church I was a member of and like the church I worshiped God in. And I've done a little online stuff, but you can't tell a lot of stuff online. You got to be there. So let's just love God and serve him and keep on keeping on till he comes. Let's pray. Father, yes, these are different days, and yes, these are difficult days, but you know, when we look at things, the days of Paul and the gospel going forth, they were hard days. Paul had to leave because of persecution just after 3 weeks of ministering in Thessalonica, and had to run for his life. And we are living in difficult days, but certainly at this point, none of our lives are threatened or in danger, but that could happen yet. But Lord, help us to be faithful like these people were encouraged to be at Thessalonica, and help us to take up the challenge of being like them in sounding out the Word of God. Thank you for one another today. Thank you for this time in your Word. Use it to challenge our hearts and our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.